For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to the last Sunday of the, for lack of a better term, special seasons, because a week from today we enter into ordinary time, but don't think that it's ordinary time, because it is extraordinary time, is what they should call it, because we'll go through the summer hearing about the Acts of the Apostles, and as you know, we've got our study on spiritual gifts through the month of June coming, so we're going to look at some extraordinary things in ordinary time. But today is Trinity Sunday, and I want to share with you some thoughts on Trinity Sunday, and I'm going to take a little different perspective, but the first thing I want to do is draw your attention to what's on the board here, or on the wall. This is a, it's been immortalized in stained glass. It's in different placards and things. It's the earliest appearance of that is in about the year 1109, probably. And there is indeed a parchment from the year 1210 that has this kind of a diagram on it. And it's an attempt to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. And there's famous stained glass windows all over the world with this very thing depicted in them. And there's even one locally, Trinity Episcopal Church in Wauwatosa, has this in stained glass in their library. And it basically starts with God in the middle, and we have the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you see that when you go from Father, Son, and Spirit to God, that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. But you'll also see that the Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Father, just like the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit's not the Son. The Son isn't the Father. It's good to a point. It's really good to a point. And it helps us understand this doctrine of the Trinity, because it is misunderstood by many. And it's those misunderstandings that I'm going to address today. Because as I was looking at a different way to present this and thinking, how can I make the people understand? How can I make the people understand? That's my job, right? And so, without telling you who it is, I said, okay, if I go to the least common denominator, if I can make, fill in the blank, if I can make this person understand, then everybody's going to get it. Okay? And I'm so glad that that person's here today. I was actually writing something recently for the... my work with the National Church, and I actually had someone I was to whom I was speaking on the telephone, who's really high up there, and I had this person say, "Write it so I can understand it." Said, "Okay, I will, not a problem." So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to share with you about five different things that are going to be out there today which are wrong about the Trinity. And in doing that, I think that you'll have a really good understanding of something that is very difficult to understand, and indeed something we will never fully understand in this life. But some of the things you would hear out there today in other churches is, someone will preach the Trinity, because this has been done before, and I've read this, Facebook is great for finding things like this. I once heard a clergyman preach that the Trinity was two whos and a what. Two whos and a what. Well, wrong. The Holy Spirit is a person, and what you cannot do is deny the personhood of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, just as the Father is a person and the Son is a person. The Holy Spirit is a full and distinct person. The Holy Spirit isn't a thing out there or a force or a, you know, some kind of a shields up Scotty kind of thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. So understand that the Trinity is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now when people understand that, they sometimes get into an explanation of, okay, this is how I understand the Holy Spirit. It's that sometimes, I'm a person, and sometimes I am the priest of the church, and then sometimes I'm the baseball umpire, and then sometimes I'm the musician. And that's how God works. Sometimes God's the Father, and sometimes God's the Son, and sometimes God's the Holy Spirit. And that God acts in different ways. And that's how we understand the Trinity. Wrong. That's a heresy called modalism. M-O-D-A-L-I-S-M. Modalism means that God acts in this mode at this time, and then in this mode at that time, and then in this mode at that time. Well, we don't believe that either. God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not one God acting like the Father at one point and then the Son at another point. That's one of the ancient Trinitarian heresies. He doesn't switch modes. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The other thing is, you're going to hear, and a lot of people preached this last week, that Pentecost was the birth of the church. All of a sudden, God invited Jesus, and then invited the Holy Spirit, and then it was finally complete, and the church was there. Well, wrong. Pentecost is the gift of the promised Holy Spirit, but God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were there all along from the beginning. Some people would say that, well, Jesus didn't come along till the New Testament, so you've got God the Father in the Old Testament, and then you've got Jesus in the New Testament, and then a little later on the Holy Spirit comes, and then you finally got it complete. Well, that's not right. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God the Father. The Word, Jesus, is with God the Father, and the Spirit moves over the earth, the Holy Spirit of God. Right from the very beginning of the Bible, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But a lot of people will assume that the Old Testament is just about God the Father, and that Jesus doesn't come in until later. No. Always a Trinity. Always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now the other one, the fourth one, you see, you were afraid. I told you there were five of these and you thought we were going to be here all day. That's not true. The fourth one is a little heresy that's called tritheism. Try and try as you may, you cannot be a tritheist. Tritheism, T-R-I-theism, means three gods. The belief in three gods, or the belief that the doctrine of the Trinity teaches that there are three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, take a look at this. That's not what this says. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father's God, the Son is God, the Spirit's God. It's all connected and it's all one. One God. And we say that in our creed, don't we? We believe in one God. And that one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there are some out there that would look at us and say, well, you believe in three gods. There's only one God. We believe that. We believe in one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's called a mystery. We're talking about mysteries at our Bible study this morning. We're talking about the mystery of the Eucharist. And what we have to understand is that we will not fully understand. We can have a pretty good understanding and we can have a pretty good grasp. But in our frail humanity, any attempt at explanation is going to fail at one point or another because we are not perfect. But we can get it really good to a really good point. But we must understand that there is one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the other and last thing that's going to be preached out there somewhere today is they're going to call God the Father, they're going to call Jesus the Son, and they might understand that the Holy Spirit is a person and they're going to call him an it. Well, that's not scriptural. The first person of the Trinity is named in Scripture by Jesus' Father, of course. The second person, we know Jesus is a man. God is Father in His relationship to creation, and God created the whole world apart from Himself. He is the procreation of all. What we often see is if people want to call the Holy Spirit an it, they won't call Him a He. But the nature of God is that He is a He. And we often see God referred to in a gender-neutral language. It's funny, Jesus never does that. Scripture never does that. But a lot of people want to somehow, they think they want to be inclusive, and so they're going to call the Holy Spirit an it, and they're going to call God a thing, a creator. And while they might have to concede that Jesus was a boy, they're going to somehow eliminate gender-specific language. You might have heard them, instead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you might have heard Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. All true, but that does not negate the fact that God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is God. Divine revelation never refers to God as mother or daughter or just spirit, but divine revelation refers to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I understand where a lot of this comes from. And some people had such horrific relationships with their earthly father that they can't imagine calling God the Father. Or they want to see God in all things. Well, God equally created, you know, men and women, so God has to be both. Well, of course, God understands exactly what it's like, you know, to be female. God created female. God knows. But God is Father, and there's an important reason for that. It's because God has established this relationship, and we have to have a relationship. So God can't be an it. We just can't have creator. We have to have God the Father. And for those that say, well, God has to be mother because I can't relate to an earthly father because of my experiences here. Well, you know, well, maybe you should relate to an all-perfect father instead of thinking of father as the one that we have here on earth. Now, my dad's a wonderful guy, but, you know, God forgive me, he's got a flaw or two. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is he's a Cubs fan. That can be forgiven. That can be forgiven. My mother's a Cardinals fan. I'm not so sure about that one. But for those that would deny God as Father, when that's all He is from beginning of the Old Testament on through, to say that God is somehow mother or that they can't call God Father because of what they've experienced in this life, instead of denying that, why don't you embrace the all-perfect Father in heaven? You know, we've got that pesky fifth commandment, you know, honoring our father and our mother. Maybe part of that is forgiving our earthly parents for their faults, for their failures. Sinful human beings embrace God the Father, who is your all-perfect Father, because you've got one. See, doing things like that, you just have to throw too much away. You have to look at Scripture and you just have to throw too much of it away. And that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to embrace the truth of it all, knowing that we're not necessarily going to understand it. Again, back to our discussion this morning, we talked about different teachings and denominations that dismiss what we do because they don't understand it. And if they can't understand it, well then, it has to be something else. But that's the beauty of being a sacramental church. We embrace things by faith. We will embrace in a few moments here that Jesus is truly present physically in body, physically in blood, in that Eucharist we receive. That by our prayers together, the wine changes to blood, the bread changes to the body of Christ, that He is really, truly there with us, and that it's not just symbolic, but that it truly is the body and blood of Jesus. Yes, it's still bread and it's still wine, but it is the body and blood of Jesus by virtue of our faith and by virtue of our prayers and by the power of the Holy Spirit that changes it into that. Because Jesus didn't say at the Last Supper, He didn't hold up bread and say, "I want you to think of this as my body." He said, "This is my body." And so we accept that by faith. And just as we accept that by faith, as we accept that the tomb was empty on Easter Sunday, we accept that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the three persons of the one undivided Trinity. And there it is. Now this came out a little bit goofy in shape to be on the wall here, but imagine it maybe a little bit elongated more. It kind of looks like a shield that a soldier might carry in ancient days. And that's actually one of the icons of this that's drawn, is a soldier holding a sword and he's holding a shield, and that is the shield. And it goes along with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. We are to take on that shield of faith, right? Well, that shield of faith is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that works in and through our lives. And we don't separate. We don't think it's one God doing one thing this time and one thing that time. We don't think it's three different gods. We think it's one God, three persons. Is anyone appropriately confused? Yeah. Then you're getting it. Then you're getting it. The first person that stands up and says, "I completely understand this," well, you're the one whose name is getting filled in the blank. So that's all I got to say. We take this on faith. And there are, you know, many tenets of our faith that we take on faith. We believe things on faith. We believe in the incarnation, that somehow Jesus came down here on Christmas Day as a little baby in a manger. That He was God when He did that. How ridiculous a thing is that to believe? That doesn't make any sense at all. We take on faith that Jesus stood outside a tomb and said, "Yo, Lazarus." And that Lazarus came out. That's silly. That doesn't happen. Stop by the village cemetery here on your way home and start snapping your finger at a few of the stones and see what happens. God, if anything happens, call me. You got the gift. But we believe that. We believe that Jesus stood there at that last, he broke that bread and said, "This is my body." And we believe that. And then we believe that Easter Sunday morning, the stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty. He's risen from the dead. We believe he ascended into heaven. All of these things we believe. In the same way, we can believe in God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit works in and through our lives every single day. And we can believe this. And we don't have to completely understand it. Because if you claim to completely understand it, then you're not accepting it by faith. And it is by faith that we are saved. We don't know why. I mean, God just loves us that much. We don't know why. Are you that lovable? No. Some of you maybe. Some more than others. You know, where's my list? Okay, no. But this is a pillar of our faith that we believe this. And it's all over Scripture. I could have said I'd give you all kinds of Scripture references. We talked about that recently, as a matter of fact. But you know, start if you want Trinity over and over and over and over again. Look at the Gospel of John and then read John's letters. It's Trinity over and over and over again. You will see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, Father Chris, the word Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible. You are right. The Bible also never says that we are to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It's not there. You're not going to find a verse where Jesus says, "You must accept me as your personal Lord and Savior." But we believe that, and we teach that. And it's by putting, again, you know, we talk a lot about putting all these Scriptures together so that we can understand the nature of God and how God, you know, reacts with us and what that relationship is supposed to be like. And that's why God has to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He can't be an it, and it can't be a what, and it can't be a just a thing or a blob. If you want to have a relationship, it has to be with a someone. And that's our God. So there you are. A sermon probably filled with one heresy after another, but maybe we eliminated a few of them that, you know, one might hear out there in the world today. But the best thing to leave with is that this Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this God is our God. God who loves us. God who gave Himself for us. God who will give Himself again in the Holy Eucharist here in just a few moments. And the God who empowers us with the Spirit of Pentecost, the God who calls us to be His children. It's pretty awesome stuff.